This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Ajuzah Day. Today we are covering the 18th juz. SubhanAllah, I have to check to make sure we're in the right juz because these days are going by and passing us by, alhamdulillah, in a nice manner. We're hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us. We're praying that Allah accepts from us our good deeds. And then he continues to make our worship of him easy and fruitful. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We are going to get started today with the 18 juz, which has three surahs in it. It has Surah Al-Mu'minun. Surah Al-Mu'minun is the 23rd surah. It has Surah Al-Nur, which is the 24th surah. And it has Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th surah. The Surah Furqan is actually not entirely in the juz. Surah Furqan is actually only partially, in fact, only a very small part of Surah Al-Furqan is in this juz. So we will actually delay the study of Surah Furqan to tomorrow when we cover the 19 juz. So our focus today will be on Surah Al-Mu'minun and Surah An-Nur, 23rd and 24th surahs of the Quran. Let us look at these two beautiful surahs. Al-Mu'minun, the word means the believers. And the believers here is, of course, in plural. The singular of that is mu'min, which is the term that Allah gives to those who believe in him and in his revelation. So that is what he says. That's what the surah is named after, because in the very beginning of the surah, Allah says, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." The believers for sure are successful. The believers are truly successful, and that is where the name comes from. And that is actually the theme of this surah, that the believers are actually the ones who are going to be successful in this life and in the next life. Those who believe in Allah and do the good works that He has prescribed. Let's take a look at this surah. The first ayah begins as follows: "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." Successful indeed are the believers. "Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un." Those who are humble in their prayer. Ayah number 1 to 9 is going to be a description of these believers. Those who are humble in their prayer. "Walladhina hum 'anil laghwi mu'ridun." Those who turn away from all that is frivolous. "Walladhina hum liz-zakati fa'ilun." Those who give zakat. "Walladhina hum lifurujihim hafizun." Those who are protected, or those who safeguard their chastity. "Illa ala azwajihim aw ma malakat aymanuhum." Except with their wives and what their right hands possess. This is a terminology or expression for the slaves that were owned back in the day. "Fa'innahum ghayru malumin." For then they are free from blame. And whoever seeks to go beyond that, they are transgressors. "Faman yabtagha wara'a dhalika fa'ulaika humul adun." "Walladhina hum li amanatihim wa 'ahdihim ra'un." Those who are faithful to their trusts and promises. Those who, "walladhina hum 'ala salawatihim yuhafizun." Those who attend to their prayers. "Ulaika humul warithun." These are truly the heirs of paradise. "Alladhina yarithuna al-firdausa hum fiha khalidun." They shall inherit al-firdaus. They shall inherit al-firdaus, which is the highest level of paradise, and they will be in it forever. This is the description of the believers, and the reward of the believers is mentioned as well. The description of them is actually really beautiful. I'll point out a couple of things about it. Two things. Number one is all of this, this description, al-mu'minun, khashi'un, mu'ridun, fa'ilun, hafidun, ghayru malumin, al-adun, ra'un. These are all words that are actually nouns in Arabic. They are nouns. And the reason why Allah is describing them, one of the reasons that could be behind this, to use a noun to describe this, is to describe the idea that this is the permanent state of this person. Or the believer, this is like their mindset. Their mindset is, my success, my identity is that I believe in Allah and His Messenger and all the messengers and the last day. That's the identity, and that's what they, you know, that's what they adhere to, that's what they're proud of, and that's like a permanent thing. Then being humble in the prayer is permanent. Turning away from things that are frivolous, that are a lagu, that are distractions, distracts from the bigger purpose. That is a permanent, you know, that's how they are. Giving zakat, that's their lifestyle. Protecting their chastity, safeguarding their chastity, that's their lifestyle. Being faithful to their trusts and promises, that's their lifestyle. All of these words are beautifully, all of this idea is that not, it's not just like a one-time occurrence that they did it once and now boom, this is it. No. In fact, this is who they are, and that is what their life is about. That's what the believers' lives are about. And the one who has this, that is the one who has attained success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ I said two things, but I'll make three points. Sorry. The second point is salado. The word used here is in the verbal form. It's ayah number 9. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ This is an interesting little twist, because here from speaking from a rhetorical point of view, this could be implied that salawat is actually the plural, okay, compared to salat, which is a singular here, right? This is, you know, in the prayer, the person is, how are they? They're humble, and that's how they always prep themselves and always try to be humble in their prayer. But prayers are many during the day. Right, there's 5 of them, alhamdulillah, and every day there's 5 prayers. So there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of praying. So the repetitive nature of praying and the amount of prayers is captured by the present tense fi'l, the present tense verb yuhafizun here. So it's actually a beautiful contrast that their permanence or their lifestyle is like a permanent lifestyle. Or it's a lifestyle of excellence. That's who they are, and that's, you know, what defines them. It's a stable lifestyle described by a noun. And their approach towards salah is yuhafidun. They're always keeping up with their prayer, and that's a, you know, that's the thing that the believer is occupied with more than anything else, that they are keeping up with their prayers. So it's actually a really nice contrast in how the believer is described. One from a lifestyle perspective, and one from like, what are the things that like day-to-day keep him busy? The third thing here is the believer here is anonymous. This could be anybody. This could be us, inshallah, that it is us. It could be anybody who lives in any part of the world at any time. It is, as long as you fit the description, you are it. And we ask Allah to make us fit this description. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is the description of the believers, and the reward of the believers is mentioned earlier. The theme of the surah is the believers are successful. Signs for believers are mentioned in the creation. Sign number 1 is the origin of human beings. We created man from an essence of clay. That's Adam. Then, ja'alnahu nutfatan fi qararin makin. Place him in a safe, placed him as a drop of fluid in a safe place. That's the rest of us. We're conceived by our parents in that way. Then the process of creation, how the drop of sperm, as it fertilizes the egg in the ovary, develops into a clinging form, and then into a lump of flesh. And then the lump develops, has bones, and then the bones are clothed with flesh. And then, so lump of flesh is like the embryology of it goes very fascinating and very precise. How there it formed as a fetus, then the bones are formed, then the flesh around the bones is formed. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. And then the baby, that as a fetus, that's a really tiny fetus, then expands in size. And that's what happens for, you know, if I'm not mistaken, trimester 2 and trimester 3, or you know, some of those months, or most of those months, the baby, its formation is formed first, and then boom, he grows or she grows, and then the baby is born. Subhanallah, fatabarakallahu ahsan al-khaliqin. How amazing is God, the best of creators. How incredible it is, how the way we are born, the way we are conceived, and what an amazing sign that is for us to remember our humble origins, to remember the magnificence and dominance of Allah, and how He's able to bring life, right? He has the ability to bring us into existence, to give us life, has the ability then to take our lives. Innakum ba'da dhalika lamayitun. And then He has the ability, of course, just like He made it us the first time, creation, second time, resurrection, you will be raised up again on the day of resurrection. Like I mentioned to you very frequently, the Quran talks about creation, and then the point of studying and learning about the creation is so that you can be certain that there is going to be a resurrection, and this life is not going to be forever. Signs for the believers are all over the place. They are in the sky, subhanAllah, beautiful sky. We spoke about that yesterday. How the water is amazing, how the water kicks off the water cycle. Here Allah describes how the water, askannahu fil ard, how it lodges in the earth, and how that creates water tracks and wells and irrigation systems. And Allah says that is Allah's plan. That's His creation. That's His system. If He wants to, He can take it away. وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ ذَهَابٍ بِهِ لَقَادِرُونَ. Again, the idea that this life isn't permanent. There is going to be an end to this, and prepare for that end. Get ready for it. The water produces beautiful vegetation of all types, abundant fruits, a special type of tree, specifically here. شَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ مِن طُورِ سَيْنَاءَ, that grows on Mount Sinai, produces oil, and a condiment for those who eat it. And this is, of course, what? This is the olive tree, right? Wattini wa zaytun. And we'll have another mention of the olive tree soon today as well, in Surah Nur, when Allah talks about the light, how the Islam is a light, how Allah is a light. He again references the oil of olives. Okay. And of course, olive oil is quite delicious. Alhamdulillah. A lot of us are close to iftar, so now we can think of these nice, you know, dressings that have olive oil in it. Alhamdulillah. And he mentions livestock. إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. An amazing thing for us to learn. Something for us to stop and, you know, consider the power and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign for the believer. نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهَا. We provide you with a drink from what is in their bellies. This is something that Allah has allowed us to benefit from. We take it for granted, but this is a sign of Allah's magnificence, that it's in their bellies. In the other surah, Surah Nahl, مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ, between dung and blood, it comes out through the udder, and it's one of the most nutritious meals a person can have. And you have other benefits from them as well, clothing, etc. And you eat them, and you ride them as well. Camels are ridden, not cows. You don't ride cows, but camels, etc. are ridden. And also ships, you ride on ships. And that, as I mentioned, that is one of the most amazing things that Allah has allowed us, because that is what allows economies around the world to flourish, sailing of the ships. So Allah is pointing out all these beautiful signs for the believers. Then He points out more signs. Those were the signs that are outside the book. Okay, again, always notice, there's signs outside the book, there's signs inside the book. Signs outside the book, Allah points to. And He's like, look and think, use your brain. Think about it, think about the majesty of the Creator, think about that it's going to end, think about what's going to happen when it ends. Okay, and then He points about signs inside the book. Similar theme. Consider the history. Learn a lesson from history. And look at the end of those who denied the prophets and how their end was there. So be afraid of something similar if you were to reject a prophet as well. We send Noah to his people. Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. And he said to his people, my people, worship God. You have no deity but Him. Will you not fear Him? This time, this is an interesting rebuttal that they give of him. Right, the subtle difference here is he is only a human being like yourselves. يُرِيدُ أَن يَتَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is not mentioned in other parts of the Quran. They're trying to say that he is seeking superiority. He's trying to get authority and a upper hand using his belief. That is the pointed criticism at Nuh alayhi salam here. And it's pertinent for the surah, because the surah says the believers are successful, but the success of the believers isn't because they have authority in this world or something, or they seek that authority. And as we'll see, this is what was a criticism of the Prophet ﷺ. They would say, well, the Prophet ﷺ is just seeking power. But Allah says, all prophets will come and say, I'm not asking you for money. I'm not. مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. So the intent, there is no like nefarious intent at the side, at the point or at the end of the Prophet or any Prophet of Allah. It's really just conveying the message that Allah has chosen this prophet to convey. So here, this criticism that they say, or they criticize Nuh alayhi salam with, mentioned here, and has this beautiful relationship to what the surah is talking about. And this is one of the things we should think about. Stories of Quran repeat, but when they come in different parts, they bring something different, and what the thing that they bring different has something to do with like the point that Allah is making in that surah, or a point that he's going to make later on in that surah. And it's a beautiful, harmonious, composition that Allah has, revealed. They, of course, said he is just a crazy person. So just wait until his matter is finished. Nuh alayhi salam makes dua that, oh Allah, my people have rejected me. Allah says, you now built the ark under our watchful eye. And when فَارَدْتَ النُّورِ, when the waters are gushing out of the earth, then take every pair and your family, except the ones who are not believers, onto the ship, and wait for the others to drown. And when you have been saved, say, praise be to God who has delivered us from the wicked people, and say, my Lord, land me with your blessing in a blessed landing place. You alone can provide the best of landings. أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. The idea here is you get through the adversity that you're going to face through dua, and that is the believer's, that is the thing that the believer leans on. This is the source of comfort for the believer. The believer's the place, the happy place for the believer, the place where they find their solace is their dua, and that is a beautiful lesson that we learn from this. This version of the story of Nuh alayhi salam, how Allah is instructing him to make this dua, and that is a sign for people. Surely there's a sign for people. Okay. Now, then after that, Allah mentions an anonymous prophet. And this is a unique thing. This is not in other surahs like this. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ قَرْنًا آخَرِينَ. Other generation was raised after them, and a messenger was sent to them. Who was this messenger? Not mentioned. Okay. An anonymous prophet. And this is fascinating because to show that the prophets were sent through all times, to all peoples, to believers around the world. And in that is a sign for all believers today, that we are united throughout history by our belief with other people who believed in Allah and the messenger that Allah sent to them. Here is an anonymous prophet saying the same thing. Worship Allah alone. You have no deity other than Him. Will you not fear God? The brotherhood of the believers is this large family that extends over time, that transcends times. And here we are learning about another of our brethren, our prophets who we follow. But this one is not mentioned by name, all right? The people said the same thing. The people, but not the people, in fact. The leaders of the people, al-mala, they denied the truth, denied the meeting in the after. And one of the reasons why they were not so concerned about the next life was because وَأَتَّرَفْنَاهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, we had granted them plenty of ease and plenty in their worldly life. Again, the Quran mentions this point time and time again. People have reasons to reject faith. Some of it is because they don't want to lose influence. And that's al-mala. That was Fir'aun. Why would I lose influence? That was Quraysh. They don't want to lose their influence to the Prophet ﷺ. But also an underlying thread that many people, the reason why many people suppress their inner desire, their inner disposition to worship Allah, is because there's plenty of ease and enjoyment in this world. And why would I trade that for all these, like, all these sacrifices? Why would I do that, right? So that is, subhanAllah, often the reason. And they, Allah highlights the reason, and they come up with a plan to reject the Prophet. This is just a human being like you. He eats what you eat and drinks what you drink. How is he any different, right? And if you were to follow a human being like yourselves, then surely you are lost. Now, in that is actually not really logical. Like, so what if he's a human being like you? As long as he has some, like, he is, what he's saying is correct, and he has evidence to back himself up. A prophet would come with, like, a clear sign from Allah that he is a prophet. As long as he has that, he can make that claim. He has that, the prerogative is there for him to say that, right? Why does a prophet, why does he have to be superhuman, where he doesn't need to eat or drink? That's not very logical. That doesn't have any, like, it's a fallacy. It doesn't make any sense. Why would that be the thing that convinces you that this is a person who is receiving revelation from God or speaking to God, right? And in fact, in a way, it would become like irrelevant. Oh yeah, this is a prophet who doesn't even need to eat. What can I learn from him? I need to eat and survive. But the prophets were exactly humans like us. They suffered, they went through difficulties, they had emotions. So we could learn from their emotions. So this is actually a very flawed argument. And this is that point when a person's desires, right? أَتْرَفْنَاهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, because of ease, that's the underlying motivation. So now you have to mask that with something that sounds reasonable, sounds logical, in reality isn't. And if you were to get down to brass tacks, you would say, well, this actually doesn't make any sense, this argument at all. So this is exactly what they're doing. They're saying something sounds logical, isn't very logical, but it could be easily parroted and trumpeted. And it's kind of hard to break apart because it's a convoluted logic. It takes a while for it to, like, break apart. It takes nuance to unpack it. So it's easy to proclaim, difficult to unpack. And that is what these people do. And that is what people today and throughout history have done. They would make these, like, statements and that just, you know, are easy to proclaim. And to discussing them and to unpack them is work. But most people aren't interested in that because they're just happy with what they have in life. Allahu Akbar. Hayata hayata lima tu'adun. What you are promised is indeed far-fetched. Of course, they say this life is all that we have. We're going to die and live. That's it. You know, life of this world is all we know. We're flora and fauna at the end of the day. And this is a person who has made up lies about God. And we're not going to believe him. Of course, the Prophet made dua. And then the Prophet was helped shortly thereafter. A blast struck them and we reduced them to rubble. So away with these wrongdoing people. Zalimeen, Allah calls them oppressors. Who did they oppress? They oppressed themselves. They oppressed their inner desire, the inner disposition to worship Allah. And then Allah says, then another generations were raised after. And every generation, every people has an appointed time. Meaning, as a community, who has received a prophet, they all have an appointed time. You gotta believe, otherwise it's over. And the rest of us who are not now, you know, once Musa alayhi salam has come, this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people anymore. Now he gives people opportunity. If they can make mistakes, their accountability now is deferred to the next the day of judgment. And that cannot be postponed. When the time to go comes, you are going. That's it, right? So that is what this ayah says. Then Allah mentions how he sends, of course, he talks about messengers that were sent in succession. Okay, messenger after messenger after messenger. Okay, and that is how Allah says, well, every time the messenger would come to people, they would reject him. So we destroyed them one after the other and let them become mere tales. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَادِيثِ. They're just part of history. فَبُعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But the thing changed when Musa came. Musa alayhi salam came, Pharaoh was destroyed. Now it's accountability that's deferred to the day of judgment. We send Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and clear authority to the Pharaoh and his leaders. But they were an arrogant people, people who wanted to, you know, hold on to their power. They said, should we believe in these two humans like ourselves? This is a new twist to the tale that hasn't been mentioned before. And you interestingly notice how it relates to all what the previous stories are saying. Should we believe in these two people, these two men? They're just like us. How are they special? And وَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ, their people are our servants. We're going to believe them? Their people are like slaves to us. So that again, doesn't have anything. That's one thing mutually exclusive from that is the idea of he's a prophet and he is receiving revelation from God. And what he's proclaiming is true. Both of those things can be true at the same time. Yes, he's a human. Yes, he's a prophet. Yes, he is a prophet and his people are enslaved. One is not dependent on the other, but this is an easy way to reject an easy, statement of parrot. And that's because they wanted to, again, something else was driving that bus. They wanted to hold on to their power. فَكَذَّبُهُمَا, they rejected them and they were destroyed as well. Then Allah talks about, of course, Maryam alayhi salam and Isa, the last of the prophets of Bani Israel, of Bani Israel. Allah gave him a shelter on a peaceful hillside, watered by a fresh spring. Now he says about the prophets, addressing them all, that O prophets, eat from what is wholesome and do good deeds. I am well aware of what you do. And this one nation, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا, your religion is one religion. You are all believers. All of you, throughout time, from time, all the prophets, you are all one large family. You're one large family of believers. We are all believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, followers of the prophets that he has sent. And the prophets that he has sent to whichever time and place we're living in. If you were living in a certain time and place and that was our prophet, we believed in him. If we're living in today's time and place and our prophet is our prophet, then we believe in him and everybody before him as well. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ, and Allah is our Lord, one and only. فَاتَّقُونَ, so fear me. That's a beautiful ayah. That's such an amazing, it makes you feel, or it should make you feel like there's a sense of belonging that transcends our current, state, our current time and place. And, there's nothing more blessed than that, to feel that feeling, the connection with the people of the past, a sense of belonging in this world and in the next, like the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, they'll be inheriting paradise, right? So we all enter paradise together. SubhanAllah, we ask Allah to make us these believers and to be in paradise with all the prophets and their followers. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. However, as beautiful as that sounds, the nation is still divided. Dose of reality right afterwards. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا. Ayah number 53. Yet they divided among themselves into factions. Right? This is people. People are people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this is how the prophets were. This is the message. People are people. People are going to do people things. And that is what they ended up doing. Breaking apart into groups. And each group, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ, rejoicing in what they have. Every group is happy with what they have. This is the sad reality of how people are. And the Quran, as you see, so amazing. It digs deep into like what is me bothering a person, right? You are part of one nation. You are part of the nation of believers throughout from beginning of time. Okay, but people are people. People will do these things. Don't become disappointed by people, thus projecting your disappointing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do that. That is just how people are. And we have to, do whatever best we can in this world to become a believer of that large member of that family of believers. Okay? And that's what Allah says, فَذَرْهُمْ, leave them. Don't worry about it right now. You can't do anything. حَتَّى حِينَ, these differences are resolved until the day of judgment. Now, there's more description of believers. Allah describes believers. Another really nice passage. This time, perhaps you're feeling sad because this beautiful message has not been lived up to by the people who should have lived up to it, right? It's a saddening feeling. What can you do, right? But Allah describes the believers, and that's like an uplifting feeling. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those who tremble with fear of their Lord, and those who believe in His messages, those who do not associate partners with Allah, those who, when they give to others what they have been blessed with, right, their hearts are trembling at the thought that they must return to Allah. I.e., they're not giving money thinking, hey, poor guy, enjoy, you know, look how awesome I am and look how much I've helped you. No. They are like, this that I'm giving is helping. This is actually me helping myself. I'm helping this person because obviously this person is in need of help. But the person who really got helped was me. The person who really got helped was me. And that is what their hearts are trembling with, that thought that will Allah actually accept this as an offering that's bringing me closer to Him or not? Subhanallah. And this is, you know, like it shows that that's a sign of a sincere individual, someone who wants to do something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thought that I'm doing this right now, it doesn't get to their head. It actually keeps them humble. In fact, it drives them to do more. That's a beautiful sign of that individual. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Those are the people that strive to do good, and they are the ones who are the foremost in, because they're always thinking, this is going to be, you know, this is my offering to get closer to Allah. It's me helping myself. The Prophet ﷺ once had a sheep or a sheep or a goat, I forgot which one, and that was sacrificed, and there was meat, and the Prophet ﷺ gave the shoulder of meat to somebody else, and the other juicy parts to somebody else, and then he asked his wife Aisha, what's left? She said, well, this little piece of meat is left. He's like, actually, she's like, this little piece of meat is left, but the shoulder and the, you know, other juicy parts are gone. He's like, actually, the shoulder and the juicy parts are left, and the little piece is gone. Meaning, what you have given away for, you know, the help of someone, that is actually what remains. Because the ajr of it is written, and that ajr will be there for you waiting in the next life, subhanAllah. So that truly, truly remains for eternity. Whereas what you have consumed, it's actually going to be it will finish shortly and it'll be gone. So it's actually a really amazing mindset. And that's the mindset the Prophet used to have, and that's what he was teaching us through that hadith as well. Now, description of believers. The Prophet is referenced because he is the Prophet of the believers. The people would say, is he possessed? Like, he's saying these things. He never used to say these things before. But the truth is, he has جاءهم بالحق, has brought the truth. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. The reality is, their criticism of the Prophet is not because they doubt the Prophet's character or there's something wrong with the message. They don't want the message. That's why the easiest target is to shoot the messenger. And that's what they're doing here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, if that was the case, if, you know, things were to just, if truth was to conform to people's desires and whims and base, instincts, then the heavens and the earth and everything that lives in them would be brought to ruin. Okay, Allah does not let things operate that way. He keeps an order, and people will find a way to convince themselves whether, mask their desire for the pleasure of this world and the luxury by these kind of things, saying that he is possessed and making excuses that are not true about the faith. Also, Allah says, well, are you asking them for any money? Are you asking for something that will make them poorer? Something that will, you know, put them in a worse situation than they are right now? No, the Prophet was not asking for that. He never asked for that. The Prophet was a fairly wealthy man when he got a revelation. And slowly but surely, he kept losing his wealth. When he got wealth in Medina, in the form of lands that was acquired after a battle and victory, and those lands were supposed to be the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ never lived in those lands. He gave it away to the people who needed it. He gave it away to the homeless who came from Mecca to Medina. That was who he was, ﷺ. If he was after money, why would the Sharia ban interest? Why would it ban like riba? All of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's the reason? Why would he do this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Why would a prophet do this when there is no financial incentive for him in that? فَخَرَاجُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٍ, because the reward of your Lord is the best. He is the best of providers. So subhanAllah, that is one of the evidences that Allah provides that the Prophet ﷺ is a real prophet. Then Allah speaks about the attitudes of the disbelievers. In ayah number 80, he says that هُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَلَهُ اخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. He's the one who gives life and causes death. He controls the alternation of the night and day. Will you then not understand? But they say the same things that the ancients said. They say, if when we have died and become dust and bones, will we be raised up again? Ayah number 82. We have been promised this. Our forefathers were promised this as well. This is just ancient or fables of the ancient. Now Allah will respond to this with like some rhetorical questions and answers. Who does the earth belong to? Right? Who created it? They will say, Allah created it. So Allah will say, won't you pay heed? If Allah created it, don't you think He can resurrect the people who are on it? Who is the Lord of the seven skies and the Lord of the glorious heaven? Who is in charge of all of this incredible cosmos? Most of it you can't even explore. They would say, well, it is God who is in charge of that. That was actually the belief of the Meccans, that they acknowledged that there is a God. Allah is still in charge, but we don't want to worship Allah alone. We want to worship this idol or this rock or this stone, and that's our way to get closer to God, and that's our special God. So if you want to worship Him, you pay His money. Okay, so that was, Allah just, asking them the real, like, deep down reason. And you can ask that of, like, people who are monotheistic, but have, tendencies of polytheism in their theology as well. Like, who's in control? Allah, right? Allah is the most in control. Allah is the creator. Then why would you put someone else in the place of Allah? Okay? مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ السَّمَوَاتِ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In whose hands lies the sovereignty of all things? He's protecting all, while none can seek protection against Him. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it that you're deluded? So these are rhetorical questions. But somebody who has a bit of a basis and a understanding of who the reality of God is, or what the reality of God is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the possibility that if you have that acknowledgement, how could you then put anybody in the place of God, whether a human being, a prophet, or any other thing? Okay, and that's the truth that we have revealed to them. And the ones who don't accept it after having gone through this rhetorical, this reasoning process, innahum lakathibun, then they are certainly lying definitely to themselves. Okay, then Allah talks about the disbelievers and their end. Again, the surah starts with the believers, kind of circles back to talk about the opposite of the believers, which would be the disbelievers. Ayah number 99, Allah begins by saying, "Hatta idha jaa ahadahumul maut." You want to see what it's like? That is when death comes to one of them. And he will say, "My Lord, send me back." Right? This is a person, by the way, a disbeliever here is not someone who was born in a family of non-Muslims. This is a person who's rejected the faith. They are like, I don't want this faith. They have suppressed the inner desire to worship Allah because of excess and luxury. They have put others in the place of Allah, even though they in their mind and deep down recognize Allah is the one who is in charge and He's the one who's made everything. Now this person, when the death comes to them, they will say, "My Lord, send me back. I la'alli a'malu salihah, so I can do some good works in the world that I have left behind. Can I just get a second chance, please?" Kalla. Allah said, "No, never. Innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha." It is a meaningless word that you have said. This is a meaningless statement. You don't mean this. Because if you had meant it, you would have done something in the long life that you had lived. All right? And now there is a barrier between you. وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Now, there's no going back. Now it's, you're in this life of the barzakh, and the life of the barzakh is the waiting period before the day of resurrection. Ahlan wa sallam, Brother Samir. Barakallahu feek. Nice to see you. فَإِذَا نُفِّقَ فِي الصُّورِ. Now when the trumpet is blown, everybody is brought to life. فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Then all ties, family ties, relationships, all are done. No one would care about anybody else. No one will ask about anybody else. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Ayah number 102 of Surah Mu'minun. Those whose scales are heavy, their life They led. Remember in the beginning, the Quran described the lifestyle of the believers. What is it that they're committed to? What is it that they're doing? Their prayer, their belief, their prayer, not indulging in frivolous activities, giving zakat, keeping their promises and their word. The one who does that, their scales are heavy because they've done the work. That was their life. That was the life that they built through their actions. And that is a person whose deeds are heavy on the scale, and thus they will be entered into paradise. And the one whose deeds are of good deeds is light because of a lack of iman. For a lack of action over that iman, then that is a person, khasiru anfusahum, they have ruined their souls, and then hell would be their abode. Talfahu wujuhahum nar, the fire will scorch their faces, and they will abide therein with their faces distorted. We ask Allah's protection from that. Allah mentions a scary scene at the end of the surah. Were not my messages recited to you, and did you not reject them? This will be asked of them in the next life, in hellfire. Did you not hear about this? The answer is yes. رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Yeah, we heard about it, our Lord. But our misfortune overcame us, and we were a people who were wronging. Look at this. Even that in hellfire, they're making excuses. Oh Allah, it was bad luck. I got dealt a bad hand. غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Right? Notice they didn't deny that they never heard the message. Right? When Allah says, you know, didn't you hear the messages? They didn't say, no, we never heard of this. Because no one goes to hellfire who never has heard of the message. That can't happen. Allah doesn't punish people until they have received the message. So they're now, and look at the miserable state. Even in hellfire, they're like, well, you know, it's bad luck. We're in a bad time, bad place. غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Now they say, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا. Our Lord, please deliver us. And and if we go back to doing our bad stuff, then we will definitely be wrongdoers. Now that's a ridiculous, that's a nonsensical excuse. Allah says, اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Stay there, be quiet, don't speak to me. Okay? Because you had your chance. And even now, you're still blaming how you were in the world. How do you think you're going to go back and change it? And Allah says in Surah number 6, and if Allah returns them, لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. They will go back to being the way they were. Because their life record is who they are, right? And that's the reality that cannot be, cannot be changed, cannot be altered. And that is even if they go back a second time. And then Allah speaks about how there were believers who preached this message, who lived this message, and prayed, and you made them a laughingstock. You laughed at their sacrifices. You thought that they were wasting their time, not, you know, they're wasting their lives. Today they're going to get their reward. فَإِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. It is they who have triumphed. A beautiful circle back to the beginning of the surah. The believers have been successful. Now on the Day of Judgment, Allah tells the disbelievers that they are the ones who have triumphed. Allahu Akbar. So it's a very beautiful surah. We ask Allah to make us of the believers and allow us to enter His paradise and deliver us from His fire. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. The next surah is Surah Nur. And Surah Nur is a very heavy surah. This is a heavy surah with a capital H. And it is revealed in Medina. And it was revealed with a very interesting backdrop. It has actually a very unique beginning. Very few surahs begin the way Surah Nur begins. And it actually has a backdrop, which is one of the expeditions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the wife of the Prophet had actually lost her way as the caravan had stopped. Okay, and the caravan of the Prophet and the companions, as they were coming back from the expedition, moved on without recognizing that Aisha is not in her camel buggy. You know, because it had a buggy on top of a camel, so they didn't realize she wasn't there. And they just left, and she had actually gone to use the restroom. In fact, sorry, gone to look for something that she had lost after using the restroom. So she's now deserted in the middle of nowhere. But you know, she was calm and whatnot. And then one of the Sahabi who was trailing the caravan approached, recognized that this is Aisha, recognized that, you know, subhanAllah, she's been left behind by mistake, and quickly offered her a ride on his camel, disembarked from his camel. Aisha rode the camel, and he was holding the camel's rope as they walked into Medina. Now, as they entered Medina, that scene caused the people, or incited the people who were hypocrites, those who were living a lie, those who were saying they were Muslims, but they were not Muslims. They were like, oh, this is a juicy opportunity to really stick it to the Prophet ﷺ. How so? They accused Aisha radiallahu anha of the unfathomable, which is they accused her of having an affair with another person while she's the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. And she's the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. She is the purest of the pure. Okay? And subhanAllah, this was an accusation. You would think that people would just rubbish it. But people talked about it. People were like, wait, did you hear this? What? Whoa, right? And that was something that the Prophet ﷺ was at a loss to like, what do you say in this situation, right? And it's people talking, and these are your people talking. And it was a very, very difficult time for the Prophet ﷺ and his family. And this surah, the beginning of it is revealed by Allah as Allah clearing the name of Aisha forever and in the most amazing manner, as if it needed to be cleared, but because of the circumstances, there was nobody who could speak for her definitively, so Allah spoke for her definitively, okay, ending this matter. And let's look at the introduction here. The introduction says, Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinat la'allakum tadhakkarun. This is a chapter which we have revealed and we made obligatory. فَرَضْنَاهَا, it has rulings. وَأَنزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ, we have revealed in it clear signs so that you may take heed. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that you can maybe understand what's going on. The idea of this surah is that Allah's law is a light. Surah Nur means light. Nur, the word comes from this ayah number 35, when Allah describes himself as the light of the skies and the earth. And that's where the name of the surah comes from. And that's the theme of the surah, that Allah's law is a light. Now, what is the thing here that Allah is going to speak about? He's going to speak about the ruling of adultery. What happens if an unmarried couple engage in adultery? What happens when a husband catches his wife in the act of adultery, right? All of those rulings are mentioned here. Again, I won't be able to go into the details of explaining them to you, but the first 10 ayat explain that, okay? Now, the next 11 to 26 goes back to the backdrop against the accusation of Aisha radiallahu anha, and that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the, he deals with everybody. Let's put it that way. He deals with the hypocrites first. Those who brought up this slander were a banned from among you. Okay, this is not like a foreign, this is not from Quraysh. Okay, this is from within the people of Medina. All right, and these are the hypocrites of the people of Medina. But Allah says, and that's a really amazing point, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Don't think that this is some misfortune. Don't think that this is like a bad thing. This is actually a good thing. And this is how we are taught to look at life. There is good at every turn. Just have to be patient to see it. Okay, you have to just be patient enough to recognize the wisdom in what Allah has done to you. We don't believe Allah does mysterious things. We actually believe Allah does the things with the most wisdom. We are the ones who can't see His wisdom at all times. So we take a break and wait until that wisdom becomes apparent. And this is what Allah is telling the Prophet. Don't think this is a bad thing, because there's some good that's coming. And here's the good that's coming. Number one, everybody who spoke, who participated, shall be, they are going to have accumulated sin, and they are going to be held accountable for their sin. So no one's going to get away scot-free. All right? The one who tawalla kibrahu minhum, lahu adhabun azim. The one who took the greater part, the Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the hypocrite leader, who started this gossip and stoked fanned the flames. This one, Allah says, has a terrible punishment in the akhirah. So that, Allah says, no one's going to get away scot-free. Then He first addresses the believers, because it's disappointing what they had done. How is it, O believing men and women, that when you heard this, you didn't say hadha ifkum mubin. This is a manifest slander. Not all of them, like some of the Sahaba said that, okay? But there were enough, even like there was few, but one is more than enough in this case, who participated in the slander. One believer participating in the slander against the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, that's one too many. But there was a few of them, okay? Others who didn't say anything. Others, of course, openly, publicly rejected it. But Allah is addressing them all because it's a disappointing letdown. Why didn't everybody say it? This is a manifest slander. It's completely false. Why didn't they ask for due process? جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. That's the due process in Islam for establishing the validity of such claims. If Allah, it wasn't for Allah's grace and mercy, there would be a terrible punishment in store waiting for what you have just done. And then Allah goes back, you were spreading it with your tongues and saying with your mouth that which you had no knowledge, thinking it is nothing, no big deal. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But in the sight of Allah, it was a very serious matter. The honor of a Muslim woman, any Muslim woman, is a serious matter. And to break down her honor or to attack her honor is one of the major sins in Islam, by the way. Okay? And this particular situation was not just any Muslim woman. This is the mother of the believers, arguably the most influential woman, in our history, Aisha radiallahu anha. Arguably the most influential scholar of our history, Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, and here you are talking about her in this way. All right. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا. Why didn't you even just say, it's not right for us to speak about this? If you didn't have the courage to say, this is wrong, where's the process? Why didn't you even just say, at the bare minimum, this is not right? Who are you speaking about? هَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a monstrous slander. Allah addresses the believers, and these are stern words. As I mentioned to you, when Allah, when there is criticism warranted, Allah will criticize. When there is praise warranted, He will praise. So this is, Allah says, يَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِي أَبَدًا. Don't ever go back doing that again. In kuntum mu'mineen. Speaks about the hypocrites. They are going to have a severe punishment. Don't you worry about it, O Prophet. We'll take care of them. You don't have to worry about that. Okay? He addresses that believers, how did this happen? Root cause. You were following the footsteps of the devil. That's why it happened. Don't do that. Don't give in to these like whimsical desires. But you know, purify yourselves. Watch your tongue. Be careful of what you say. This ayah is the one that says, the one who accuses chaste believing women who are unaware that their honor has been attacked, this is a person who's cursed in the world and the next. Okay, i.e. this is like a major sin, and Allah will take them to task for it, because the honor of a Muslim woman is in many ways, in fact not many ways, the honor of the Muslim woman is a sacred thing and cannot be attacked willy-nilly. The honor for any, you know, honor of a person has sanctity. The honor of a believer, man or woman, is even more sacred. But the believing woman is even more than that. And that is what this ayah and this surah is highlighting. Subhanallah. And then Allah clears, of course, as if there was any clarification needed, that corrupt women are for corrupt men. Okay? The ones who are coming together to cause this ruckus, they're all corrupt and they belong to each other. And the righteous women, وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ, righteous women, Aisha radiallahu anha, are for the righteous, pure men, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ, and the righteous men, the pure men, are for the pure women, the Prophet for Aisha. أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ, they are absolved from anything that the others may say, and for them is a forgiveness and an honorable provision for the patience that they had to endure this difficulty with. So this is the accusation of Aisha, the ifk that is mentioned here. The next passages speak about the rules about social interaction. How do you enter someone else's house? Do you just like open the door and walk in? In fact, no, you should knock the door and should ask their permission. Okay? And when you have asked permission, you should greet them by saying salam. These are important things because this relates to what happened here. These things, happen when, there is a lack of clear protocol on how genders would interact. And when there's a lack of clear protocol, it creates these kind of problems. It creates gossips. It creates situation where shaitan can come in and stoke, the fire of fitna. So Allah addresses that point. He addresses about, of course, if you own the house, or you have something valuable in the house and there's nobody in the house, you can go get it. But the ayat, these detailed rulings that are mentioned here in the surah that isn't actually mentioned in other parts of the Quran in this kind of format, because these are important considerations. And this is a surah that talks about these interactions, talks about lowering the gaze, don't check out women. Or men, don't check out women. يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Lower your gaze, i.e. don't stare and, check out how they look and whatnot. يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And protect your privates and you remain chaste. Then the ayah of hijab begins by telling the believing women to do the same thing. You also, believing women, don't check out men who are not like your husband or whatnot. Don't look at them in that way. And يَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ, remain chaste. Stay away from circumstances and influences that can cause you to become, unchaste. And then ayat are talked about of what is hijab. The ayah of hijab is mentioned with quite a lot of detail. There is a parallel to this in ayah number 58. Where Allah talks about how we should, entering homes and then entering rooms, how we should train our children to not enter our private homes or private rooms, when a couple is, either intimate or they would have been like post-intimacy, right? So there is some etiquette there. Children need to learn those etiquettes. And that is mentioned here because all of these things add up. This is like a system that, when it's in its aggregate, protects everyone, keeps the sanctity of what needs to be sanctified in its place, and honorably allows people to go about their business. Speaks about hijab for older women, ayah number 60. Hijab for older women. القواعد من النساء اللاتي لا يرجون نكاحا فليس عليهن جناح أن يضعن ثيابهن غير متبرجات بزينة. The elderly women, there is no blame on them if they take off their hijab because they are beyond the age of marriage. The fitna of why a girl wears hijab, which is her beauty and her charm that is very easily visible and very apparent and self-explanatory, really. The hijab, it's a protector, it's a barrier, it's a protection from that for her and for others. Whereas now, once a woman has reached a stage that it's no longer the case, then the hijab is no longer necessary. However, if they were to do it, that is better. Again, shows you the reason for why hijab is worn, and that is mentioned here. Rulings about how do you hang out with friends and family, and how do you eat with them. Whether you are in their house alone or you're with them, together, there is etiquettes. And these etiquettes, all of them are coming together, talks about social interaction together. And that's what makes that's like a part of our identity. These ayat are mentioned in there. It also talks about this beautiful ayah, Allahu Nuru Samawati Wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. His light may be compared to a niche containing a lamp, and the lamp inside a crystal of star-like brilliance lit from a blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west. This is actually describing that Allah is the light of the sky of the earth. It is that Allah himself is light, and he is the source of light. He is light like metaphorically as well, like his revelation is light, his laws are light, his religion that he has sent is light. It illuminates from darkness. And here, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ is like the example of the believer who is following the light of Allah is like that of a lamp that is so brilliant. It's brilliant from the inside. The lamp itself is brilliant like a star and so amazing that without even being ignited, it is bright. Without even maybe being at its best, the believer is illuminating and radiant. And then this brilliant light is contained in a lamp that is like crystal. And then the lamp is in a niche. So this light is not just, it's beautified. It has its boundaries. It's beautified. It's many layers to this beautiful example that describes that the believer is nurun ala nur. He is or she is light upon light. The light of Allah's revelation, following that, the light of being a believer in the in a follower of the Prophet ﷺ, the light of being part of this large family of believers that extends and transcends time. Nurun ala nur yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha. Allah guides to His light whoever He wills. You know, there's people who accept Islam out of nowhere. There's people who are born into a Muslim family and the Muslim family is barely Muslim, but then Allah guides one of them to His light and their ways change. And that is the example that Allah gives. It is Allah drawing people into His guidance. Wallahu bi kulli shayin alim. It's a beautiful parable. It describes how the believers exude Allah's light. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِينَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَعُ. Houses where Allah's remembrance is raised, right? The houses of the believers where Allah's name is mentioned. The believing men and women too, but here particularly men, because it's referring about a few Sahaba, who are not distracted by business or trade or worldly occupations. They're not distracted by that. From the remembrance of Allah. That is the sign of the person who is illuminated by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They establish the prayer. They give the zakat. They're afraid that they're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? That is, all of that together, subhanAllah, is the believer exuding the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rejecter of Allah is, like Allah says, أَوْكَ ظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ اللُّجِّي. Darkness upon darkness. In a deep ocean, covered by waves, billowing over it waves, and overcast with clouds, right? Deep ocean that's dark. Above that is more waves, more darkness. Above that is overcast with clouds, more darkness. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Subhanallah. So dark. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. If he stretches his hand out, he can scarcely see it. And that's the parable of the one who rejects the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's also a passage about the hypocrites who, as mentioned before, were big troublemakers, but they were they're the rejectors of the Prophet ﷺ inside enemies, and they are in a darkness as well. And Allah mentions how their state is, concludes, the surah concludes by saying, following the Messenger ﷺ is a light, is a source of blessing and light. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Do not treat being called by the messenger like being called by one another. God knows those of you who slip away on some pretext. Let those who go against His order beware lest some affliction befall them or they receive a painful punishment. Like the Prophet's command is not like the other person's command. You know, being cautious and adhering to his sunnah is the way, is the light. Has a beautiful ending to the surah, because the surah began again talking about those who strayed very far away and hurt the Prophet ﷺ. And here it talks about the believers that they are following the Prophet ﷺ, adhering to his way, and that's the way of light. SubhanAllah, it's the end of the surah. Surah Furqan, as I mentioned, a very small amount of it is in this juz. We will talk about it tomorrow. Bismillah. Jazakumullah, everybody, for sticking around till the end. And inshallah, I'll see you all tomorrow. Same time, same place. Sister Hira online mentions, mashallah, that these verses are really scary. Absolutely. People are always, doing character assassinations of each other. That is very, very inappropriate and very unbecoming behavior for a believer. We ask Allah for good manners that are enlightened by His light. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. I'll see you all tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa yaa.